You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share a creative idea, such as a movie idea, app idea, or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous, but we'll always have fun talking and joking about it. I'm Ryan Allen.
I'm your host, Tom Walma. This is Creativity Wasted. And I have one caller who's going to call in any second, and one is calling in about halfway through. But for now, let's get going with your idea.
All right. I thought this up earlier. So I was at the mechanics for a while. It's called the Bullshit Bot.
Bullshit Bot.
Yeah. It's basically just because, like, you know, a lot of people go to the mechanic and they could just lie to you because they don't know anything about cars. So they could just be like, oh, you got to get this and this fixed. And so you basically just have like a robot that it knows everything. Or
is it like a phone app?
No, I like to imagine it more like Rosie from the Jetsons just follows you around.
Okay. So it like detects if he makes up words for like car parts.
Yeah, if he just like makes the, something else, it just does the little robot voice like, meh, bullshit.
Okay.
But then you'd have to like, you'd have to quit lying yourself because it'd probably still like call you out as well.
It can't shut off. It has to call bullshit on everything.
Everything.
Okay. Can you shut it off?
I mean, you probably Hello. Could.
Hello.
Is Tony there?
Wrong number.
Is this Creatively Wasted podcast?
Yeah, this is Tom, which is close to Tony.
I'm sorry, Tom, my bad. I was reading this. All right, Tom, I'm sorry, sir. This is Chris Young.
Okay, thanks for calling.
All right, sorry, Tom. I said that. I'm looking at this thing and I'm going, oh. Yeah, I was trying to dial in, and for some reason it keeps saying the circuit's busy, so I don't know what the deal is.
Oh, well. But, Tom looks set. Like Tony if you write it with bad handwriting, so.
Yeah, nope, Tom, I'm sorry.
Okay, so we started with Ryan's idea, which is a robot which detects bullshit.
Okay.
And you said you can't turn it off.
No, you can't turn it off.
So does it have to follow you around everywhere? Can you, like, make it go away if you need to lie?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could leave it at home if you really wanted to, but if you had to, like, tell someone you were going to meet them somewhere and you had no intention of meeting them there, you wouldn't want that robot around.
So,
yeah, I would think not.
So you gave the example of the auto mechanic, so it would detect if the mechanic is bullshitting you.
Exactly.
Does it have, like, a supernatural ability to detect all lies, or does it just know? Because it knows how cars work, it can, like, see what's going on under the hood and tell if the mechanic's lying. Or can it, like, somehow supernaturally tell if a person is lying?
I guess it'd probably be sort of like a lie detector test.
Oh, so, like it looks at your facial expressions and your tone of voice. Maybe it can, like, quick check Facebook.
Exactly.
Okay, what would you call it?
The bullshit bot.
The bullshit bot. Oh yeah, you said that. Okay. Why does it have to be a real robot? Why can't it just be an app?
I mean, it could be an app. I just like imagining it as a real robot.
Because you want to, like, pet it and have sex with it. Exactly. Or both at the same time, like a weirdo.
While having robot sex.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to have a robot, it's got to be full service.
Is it allowed to lie to you? Like,
no, it just detects bullshit.
So it can't pretend to have an orgasm when you have sex with it.
But it could call you out, I guess. If you tried to fake an orgasm on it, it would be like, no, I can tell. I'm calling bullshit.
Okay. So if you do dirty talk, like you've been a naughty robot, it'll call you on your bullshit.
Exactly.
It hasn't been it's a naughty only... robot because it doesn't lie.
Exactly. It just does its job. It would never be naughty.
Okay. Does the robot have its own emotions? Is it sentient?
No, that's how you start like iRobot and get all that robot apocalypse nonsense.
Does it do anything other than just talk and get fucked?
No, that's all it does.
So it doesn't like
I mean, I guess
vacuum you could, or yeah,
you could program it to clean, I guess, if you want. I just really want something that helps me out when, you know, you go to the bank and they're like, oh, we can only give you like 5% on that loan or whatever. You're like, no, bullshit. I can get 3%.
Now, would you even need a phone if you had this? You could just speak into it. You could have it sitting on your shoulder like a parrot.
Yeah.
And you could just talk to it like it was a phone.
You could.
Talk through it.
I don't know if anyone could call in on it, though.
Oh. You're just hell-bent on not making it useful at all.
It's useful for, like, two things. Calling out bullshit and being there if, you know, you don't have a date that night or...
Okay. Any thoughts, Chris?
I think probably you'd have... How big would it be? Would it be something you can keep in your pocket, or was it something that you'd wear? Or
I've all day I've been imagining it basically as Rosie from the Jetsons just follows you around and
okay
calls out bullshit.
So it's not perfect at detecting bullshit. So you can use it to practice your lying skills, practice your poker face.
Nah.
So in a way, it's going to create a generation of psychopaths.
I'd like to imagine that it's perfect and it helps, you know, cut out all the lying and everything.
Or I guess it'll force everybody to up their lying game.
Yeah.
They'll be like how hackers, there's a race between the hackers and the coders.
Right.
So there'll be a race between the liars and the lie detection bot.
Everyone's going to have to control their heart rate anytime they try to get out of doing something.
Yeah.
So it can just do it via, like, sensor, or does it have to be hooked up to somebody?
More just sensors, like, probably read your facial expressions and sense whether or not your voice raises and stuff like that.
There's gum under this table. I'm just fidgeting around and I realize I'm poking at somebody else's gum. That's disgusting.
Don't chew it.
would the robot chew it? That's stupid. So yeah, you're picturing it small. Could it be big? Could it be like, don't you dare lie or I'll like kick your ass, like huge, like intimidating.
That could be one of the upgrades. Yeah. You could get like a bouncer robot
that like punishes you if you lie.
Yeah. Be like the enforcer, just goes after you for lying.
Okay.
Basically just, you know, a robot lie detector.
So let's say you're visiting your parents.
Right.
You take the robot.
Well, I would never do that because I only lie to my parents.
Okay. I was going to say, you're going to leave and your mom says, I love you. And the robot says, liar.
That would be an awkward moment.
Yeah. But then again, the robot's not perfect.
Right.
So maybe your mom was just
after
angry.
Enough upgrades, it'll be perfect, though.
Okay. But yeah, so people will, it'll destroy relationships with its false lie detections.
In the early stages. You'll tell your girl you love her, and then it'll say bullshit. And then you're like, no, I told the truth, and then it just says bullshit again. But that'd probably be the perfect model, because...
Now, let's say...
Probably lying the whole
time. I'm in love with your girlfriend. I'm going to hack your robot and make it say liar when you say I love you to her so that she leaves you, so that I've got a chance.
I'd have to hire, like, Elon Musk or something to make sure that doesn't happen.
But yeah, yeah, you could probably cause a lot of mischief by hacking these lying robots.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you sit it in, have it sent to like White House press briefings and things like that, and just its bullshit meter would read off the chart?
Right. Yeah, send it to the. Yeah, the press secretaries, all that, they just call them out.
Is there a point at which the lies become too much and it spins its head around really fast and then its head explodes?
Yeah, probably, definitely would. If it was hanging out at the White House around certain people, it would malfunction very quickly.
Okay. So then if you need to lie to somebody... You could just tell a bunch of obvious lies until its head explodes, and then you could get to your important lies.
Yeah. It'd be a hard robot to, like, because you couldn't really ditch it at the bar. Be like, oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom, and it would know that you're just trying to leave it there. And
oh. Okay. How much would you charge for this?
$1 billion.
Okay.
I don't know what the going rate.
If there was a robot next to you, he would call you out as a liar.
Probably.
For that.
I'll take Tree-Fitty for it.
One thing you could do, you could just put a little person inside the robot who's good at detecting lies. And sell that little person as a robot until the technology is ready. And then, like, once the sale is done that night, the little person can, like, sneak out. And then you could sell him again to somebody else.
Be like the Wizard of Oz, like, can't look behind the curtain.
Multiple counts of slavery and
he's in on it.
Kidnapped. That sounds like a good. Oh, he's
you're not forcing
it. Okay.
Him in there. You're like a scam, like a bad Santa, where the little person is sort of in on it.
Get in the can.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else to add for that?
No, I think that's all I got for that.
Okay, you ready, Chris?
Sure am. Yeah, I've been put a lot of thought into this, this first product that I think the world is missing. It is sort of along the lines of some type of electronic assistant to that effect, but, its sole job is, and I'm going to rent it, to find and match Tupperware lids and socks. So I think, it would alleviate like 3,000% of the clutter in all my cabinets, because it would match the lids and be able to, you know, distinguish just by sight without having to try them and say, damn, that's not the one, and hunt again, and damn, just by sight, which Tupperware lids and plastic bowl lids go together.
So you rent it for like 5 minutes. It just comes in whiz bang.
Yeah, I go into someone's house, man, and I just like wow them with it. You know, you just let it loose and it finds the Tupperware lids and makes everyone's moms happy that they didn't lose their Tupperware. So.
Now, does it, what does it do when there's odd ends that don't, the matching piece is missing?
It eats them, so there's no evidence left of it. So you don't have to keep looking for that lid forever. It just like shreds it, and it sort of stores in a little recycling case in its, you know, rear end, and you, it leaves happy with matching lids. So,
or let's say things get mixed up because you like you go to family reunions and you mix match the lids or whatever. So your sister, I don't know if you have a sister, it doesn't matter, has the lid for your Tupperware container and you have the lid for her Tupperware container. It could create like a database of odd end things that you can compare with your relatives and maybe you could match them.
Even better, it has its own onboard 3D printer and it just makes the lid on spot that you need.
Yeah, that's better.
That would definitely be useful.
That is better. I think that, I mean, it's that good that it can even forge Tupperware on the fly.
And socks?
Well, socks, yeah, I think it could do that too, man. It's, you know, we all are at a point where you have socks and you have no idea where that other one is hiding. And it just either gets rid of it for you so you no longer look for it and aren't expectant, or it just somehow it's got a little magic wizard knitter in there and it knits that socks or looms it for you. So,
does it repair holy socks?
You know, it probably could, but it probably looks at you with a look like, go get a new one, cheap ass.
Okay.
But I think for the price point, it has to be like, you know, it has to come in right about the like $250 to $300 range. I don't know how that's going to be possible, but... Because otherwise people will be like, I'm not going to spend that much on socks. I'll just wear mismatched socks and have mismatched Tupperware.
There's no chance of it solving the problem of the mismatched socks by chopping one of your legs off. That way there's no odd number of...
Right, so you only need one sock. Right, yep. And yeah. What it does then is it... It magically prints you a pirate hat and a hook, right? So you instantly become pirate worthy. So,
yeah. I really think that something like that could work. I know it's sort of a jokey thing, but like if you broaden it, like rent a 3D printer and it'll just find all the shit that, the mismatched pieces of things in your house. Some guy comes and like missing for a while. I had a missing thing for one of my blinds. The thing broke.
Sure.
And it took
the
me
sticker,
for
the something that
it's this weird bendy shaped thing that holds the top part above the blind. And I had to buy like three different things off the internet until I finally happened to find the right one. Just cheap 40-cent piece.
This has an optical scanner. So if your house is a wired house, it can instantly search all the specs, all the dimensions, and like I said, with the 3D printer, it can go ahead and print that right there and make your part on site. It could even be like it could even be something that even thinking bigger here, that Amazon itself owns and just sort of flies itself to your house, drops in, starts rooting around in all your stuff and finding, you know, everything that's missing, even that kid you've been looking for. So,
one thing that I'm thinking is that whenever I buy plastic silverware, I always run out of spoons, plastic spoons first. And so I end up with extra plastic knives and forks. So I wonder if you could like melt those plastic forks into like the missing blind piece.
A magic spork.
Yeah. Or
it
sports.
Combines the knife and the fork into the magic spork then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just, that's one idea I've had. The other idea that I've been, you know, thinking heavy on is, after having to clean up, I don't know if you guys have kids, but I have kids, having to clean up their crap every day is, you know, just always fun. But I've thought about the next house that I build is going to have a tilt feature. So when all the toys are spread out all over, I can just magically tilt the house to one side and it sort of shakes all the toys into one corner and then levels out again. And then when the toys are all spread out again, I just tilt the house the other way and they shake back down into the same corner that the toy box is, kind of like a big funnel that sorts them. So plus it's fun to have a house that can dance. So,
well, I have seen houses that spin like, because they want the sun to be in the bedroom window, like morning and night. So the super rich people, they have the house that spins. So that would have the same effect. If it spun fast enough, it would shove
everything.
It would
be like a centrifuge and throw all the stuff to the outside walls.
Exactly.
If you get that up and running pretty fast here, you could sell that to Toys R Us. They need to clean out all their
yeah,
that's funny. Yeah.
So that's one thing, and I don't know how you know, it kind of at some point look like one of those cars that, you know, you see at lowrider competitions, your house building in all different directions, and you could set lights to it, and at Christmas not only could it be a, you know, a Christmas light display, but it could dance like and play a little Cucaracha or something.
So instead of having like a vibrating bed, you have like the whole house is vibrating.
Sure, because that's not creepy.
And then with the house dancing, it's going to knock everything everywhere. You got that Tupperware and sock finder to put everything back together once you're done.
Now that's the house of the future if I'm not seeing it here, so.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think those are two items that I've had that I think are, you know, even though they're a little bit on the funny side, they have some real world application of, I think that Tupperware thing is gold. So
now with your tipping house, let's say you're morbidly obese and you tip the house to one side to get all the toys and junk on that one side. And then, so you have to walk over to that side that's already tipped to pick up those things. Is there a chance that the combination of tipping the house and putting your big fat ass on that side would cause the house to tip over completely?
Oh, probably tilt feature, right? So then you would just have to, you know, hurry and hit the other side and rock it back the other way. So you'd roll back and forth like a, you know, a ship or someone inside of a ship. So.
Okay. Anything else? You had something?
For the Tupperware machine, when it's 3D printing new Tupperware, is it going to be like the authentic plastic Tupperware with the stains you can't get out? Or?
Yeah, oh, it'll have, you know, it'll look like it's even weathered tomato stains on it, and it'll, you know, it'll be legit because it'll know. It'll see where the dog chewed on the one side of it where you set it down, so there's no longer, you know, there's some bite marks on it that aren't from your species, and all the good stuff, right? So when they get sharp and you're trying to wash them and they like dig your nails up or dig the skin on your fingers up. Yeah, all that good stuff.
The little corner you melted in the microwave and all that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The hot corner. All good. Yeah. It would be legit. It'd want to keep it perfect there. But I think, I don't know. I was thinking something else. Another product that I think the earth is missing is along the lines of, I can never seem to figure out which phone cord's going to need which adapter or whatever. I know there's a bunch. So a little device that's just universal and it kind of just pushes one way or the other to fit every single adapter you need. But I know there's some things out there, but not all in one little sort of magic tool. Like, you know how you have those little magic screwdrivers that have all the little bits, but this is all just, you turn it one way or the other and they sort of line up some way. So, but since we're going to have wireless charging soon, that'll probably be obsolete, but I don't know. I'm, you know, trying to re-engineer a wheel here. So,
well, I'll get going with my idea. Hopefully the other guy calls in soon. So one of the big things that people in the news and like futurist type thing people think always talk about is urban farming. And I always thought urban farming is a horrible idea, because if you look at like a real farmer, you can have like one farmer produce enough food for 100 people. But with an urban farm, it's almost the exact opposite. It takes like, cause you're doing everything by hand. So it takes almost like 100 people to make enough food for one person. And that's a little bit of a hyperbole. It probably takes like 5 or 10 people to make enough food for one person. Just farming part-time by hand. Most of the urban farmers, it's usually like a job they give to like recovering addicts and stuff. So they only work a little bit. They don't farm like 12 hours a day like a real farmer, whatever. So it does take a few of them to make enough food for one person, probably. And so the urban farm, it'd look beautiful, and maybe the air would smell nice, and it'd be pretty, and it help your mood a little bit. But it's not a sustainable way to, design a society, because it's just too inefficient and not enough space. But then I figured out a way to kind of do it. I figured out a way sort of to make urban farming make sense. So, basically my idea is to have, one of my previous ideas was for, I like the idea of tiny houses that you can sort of, that are on trailers that you can move anywhere you want. And I also like the idea of, I called them modular skyscrapers. So you'd create like an empty cube of a skyscraper, and you would like attach a tiny house to it. Okay, I think we got our caller. Hello?
Hey.
Hey, thanks for calling.
This is Adam.
Thanks for calling in.
No
so
problem.
I just started my idea, and it's about a way to make urban farming makes sense. So basically my idea, a previous idea on the podcast was for modular skyscrapers. So you'd basically take a tiny house and you'd have like an empty shell of a building, like the vertical pillars, and you would like attach the tiny house to the on all four sides to these pillars, and you could like move it around.
Okay.
So, because my thought is, it doesn't make sense to attach a house to a to the ground. It's like, it's a restriction of human freedom to attach yourself to the ground. And my thought was, unless you're growing shit, there's no need to attach a house to the ground. Because you might need to move where the job is. Maybe you want to move next to your new best friend. Maybe global warming, you have to move. Refugee, you have to move. It doesn't make sense to attach houses to the ground. But then I thought for farms and for urban farming, so right now all farms are attached to the ground. And so basically if the desert spreads to where the farms are, or like a disease, or like kudzu plants, or some new bug that the pesticides don't kill happens, or just a normal cold, like a freeze spell comes, we just sort of bend over and take it in the ass. Like, why do we design farms that way to put ourselves at the mercy of the earth? So,
I think it's just, we're building these things around where the soil is, right? You find a place with good soil and
so my idea
start
for,
growing.
So my idea for urban farms and for futuristic farms is basically just like a giant flower pot that's the size of like a semi truck. Like the width, so it can fit in the back of a semi truck or on a train or in my modular skyscraper. So you can just move it where it needs to go. So that way.
How deep are we talking?
I don't know. I think it'd only have to be a couple feet thick of dirt. And then they have things called like hydroponics where they don't even use much dirt. So depending on how they decide to do it, and depending on the plant, so I could picture like corn and like potatoes and grapes and things like that. They could grow, and you could put it in the back of a semi truck, like the corn on top of like 3 feet of dirt. This flower pot just sort of slid into the back of a semi truck. And then even some sort of plants that you wouldn't think would fit in a semi truck, like apple trees. So when you picture an apple tree, you picture like a 20, 30 foot high tree. But they have like near where my mom lives in Grand Rapids area, north of Grand Rapids, they have a orchard. And they have these weird apple trees, and they grow them like really close together. And according to my mom, the reason they do this is if they plant them really close together, there's no room for like big roots, so they can't get very tall. So they're only like as tall as a person, these apple trees. They're like,
okay,
and they bend them too to keep them short, and they. They almost look so. I call them castrated apple trees because I thought it was horrifying that they made these tiny little apple trees, but they would fit in the back of a truck maybe. So plant even like tree type crops maybe you could fit
so
in a truck.
So if you thought these plants and trees are in the back of this semi just for transporting them to where they're going to go for a longer period of time, or they're just in the back of the semi truck from the beginning?
Well, you could have it multiple ways. So you could have it always in the back of the truck. And in that case, you could have
so
like,
then the roof would obviously have to be glass.
Yeah. A glass roof or like a roof that you can open. And then, in that case, you wouldn't need pesticides, and you could maybe climate control it. And then other things you could have, like in the cities, like there's a thing called the urban heat island effect, where it's a few degrees warmer in the cities. So it would make sense to grow maybe some plants that are wouldn't be able to grow. Like in New York City, you might be able to grow them, but out in upstate New York, maybe you couldn't grow them because it's cooler. And so you just take these giant flower pots that are the size of the semi truck, and you just park them somewhere in the city, and that becomes the urban farm. And then my thought is, as far as farming them, you wouldn't need to have somebody do that manually. Instead of having like someone manually farm or have like a giant tractor in a field, you could just run these giant flower pots through like a factory when they're ready to be farmed. Like on an assembly line and some factory equipment. It could even be like in a grocery store or behind a restaurant. You just wheel in the flower pot, and the robot that farms it, either, and you could do this for multiple things, like for aerating the soil in the spring and planting it in the spring, and then for picking it in the fall, just run it through a factory on an assembly line and have it do everything, and then ship it to where it needs to go. And if you think,
man, you've put a lot of thought into this, huh?
Yeah, some of my ideas are silly, and some of them are actually detailed, like this one. So the thought is, if you think of what a tractor is, it's almost like a piece of factory equipment out on wheels, and it has to be like resistant to the weather and shit. So if you had the same functionality in a factory building shielded from the weather that does the farming, the equipment could probably be cheaper in the long run, because it wouldn't need to withstand the elements. The repairmen would be right there. They don't have to go to the farm where the tractor is. Yeah. So if you look at like, so it's going to cost money to truck all the plants around, but it's also going to save money in, you don't need a tractor, probably less chance of crop loss. So you can move the crops. If a cold spell is coming, you could temporarily hide them in a building, or like in the New York City or somewhere, you could find like some abandoned subway tunnel and just...
Yeah, put them over the manhole covers where the sewage steam constantly keeps them warm and seasoned.
Exactly. Yeah. What did I miss? Oh, and
this reminds me of. It sounds like you're doomsday prepping. Is what it sounds like.
Well, it is
for the apocalypse.
That's what I always wondered. You know, there's going to be an idiot doomsday prepper out there that forgets to pack a can opener somewhere. Then they're going to starve in their little bunker because someone forgot a can opener.
Yeah.
Man.
Or they just have
That'd be the worst way to go out, I think.
They just have to chug it.
I think so. Once you lock yourself in, shit, no can opener.
But yeah, so... you could have some crops like, so if you wouldn't want to do this for like every crop, like pave over all of our farms with parking lots and just park all of the crops there. But you could have like some crops that are vulnerable to weather conditions, or you want to take advantage of the urban heat island effect. So there's a reason to do this more expensive thing. And you could have crops that like migrate like birds. So like in Arizona, it's too hot in the summer. And in Canada, it's too cold in the winter to grow crops. But you could put them in Arizona in the winter And then in Canada in the summer. So you could have sort of migrating crops, or you could have like for like wine, like they need certain weather conditions, otherwise it ruins the flavor of the wine. This would probably be like the first application, because if they can make like the perfect wine by like, uh-oh, a cold spell is coming, it's going to ruin the wine, let's ship the wine somewhere, the grapes plant somewhere, and you make like the perfect wine, that'd probably be the first thing.
Portable crops.
Yeah. Portable crops.
Yeah. I think, the biggest obstacle is the space.
Yeah. I mean,
but I like where you're going.
So yeah, if it's enclosed, you might not need pesticides. Probably wouldn't use as much water, because the water wouldn't be seeping into the ground. I called them modular mobile farms, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it probably wouldn't work for a few years but once they start getting more like Elon Musk, like solar-powered semi-trucks, or not solar-powered, but electric, then it might make more sense, because otherwise you're shipping like tons of dirt just to ship a few dozen apple trees, you know. It might not be worth it yet, but in the long run, it would make sense, especially with like climate change and stuff like that. And then one thing I had with that is that for the past 50 years, drunk people have been driving their cars into trees and plants. So now they can finally get their revenge, and the mobile plants can run into people.
Or can just jump out of the way if it sees that it's going to get hit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. One more thing. So there's a movement called farm to table, or like locally grown. And the idea of that is you grow the crops at a farm that's near in the town where the restaurant is, but it's still, you pick the food, it goes in a bag, it sits there for days or hours, and it go until before it gets to the restaurant. And so with this new system, you could literally drive the plants and park them in the parking lot of the restaurant and just walk over and pick them. So it would like be local farming on steroids. Like snobby food snobs would be like, oh, you picked the corn and it like sat in a bag. Ew. Like, you'd be able to have food that like literally never touched a bag or never sat anywhere losing flavor for more than 30 seconds before it made it into the kitchen. I don't know if that affects the taste at all. Probably doesn't, but it would be good marketing to like, never have it, the food sitting around, just pick it, serve it
straight from the plant.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing, the idea of having lawns is stupid, I always thought, because it's effort with no reward, basically. And it's just mindless conformity. But instead of having a lawn, you could just have them wheel one of these giant flower pots into your yard and park it there. So the suburbs could become like a farmland in a way, instead of having lawns.
yeah, everybody's just got a big pot in their yard growing whatever rather than grass that does nothing for anybody.
Exactly. But that was my idea. Any thoughts? I kind of hate when I have a deep idea when everyone else has silly ideas.
No,
sometimes I have silly ideas too, but sometimes I have futuristic big ideas.
Yeah, I was going to say that's very futuristic. I mean, eventually, I think we're going to run out of options once we've destroyed the Earth.
But like this, with this system, you don't just bend over and let the Earth fuck you in the ass with like global warming and desertification and
for sure.
And yeah. So yeah, you ready with your idea, Adam?
No, not yet.
Seriously?
I was hoping somebody else would go first.
Well, this is the end of the podcast, so everyone else already went. So the other ideas were a lie detection robot, a 3D printer service to rent a 3D printer to print like odds and ends of like Tupperware containers and things that they have mismatched pieces. And then I forgot your other idea, Chris.
You said one was renting Tupperware?
No, renting a 3D printer to print missing pieces of Tupperware. Right, Chris?
Yeah, it'd go in your house and it would just optically scan your Tupperware and the ones you had, or Tupperware, Meyerware, whatever you'd call it, and then print the missing pieces right there on the spot. So instead of having to go buy new stuff, it could print you a lid, it could print you, you know, the cup, whatever you needed.
Yeah, I like that because it doesn't necessarily make sense to own a 3D printer just for the once in a year chore that would be. So you just rent it.
Yeah, see, I think if I owned a 3D printer, I would print 3D printers and have my own business.
Yeah. But, those were the other ideas to give a little context. You ready, Adam?
Caller, are you there?
He's there. I could do another idea if you want to crack jokes or comments. Adam, go ahead. So there's a video game called Minecraft, which is basically designing buildings and stuff. I've never played it, but I played SimCity back in the day. And so I always liked the idea of having, in real life, finding like old, like towns like Pompeii or whatever that were, or like ancient Rome, and like reconstructing them, like, or like building a new great pyramid. Like, I wish we would do that. We would like create like towns based on like famous historical things. And so my idea would be to like have a Minecraft type game where you make models of buildings in virtual land in the video game. And so you have like real archaeologists designing like the blocks that you use and like the templates you use to match that historical period. so that what you're designing makes sense for that historical period. So like if you're playing the ancient Egyptian Minecraft, you're building things that look ancient Egyptian. And so there's like a contest involved in this. And so the ones that people like, that match the period and look nice and are feasible to build in real life, they would actually build a town that looks like that. So the game would be like a prototype for building a real city.
Cool. Yeah. I thought of one other thing that I've always wanted. It would be a little like indicator or Apple or like a watch kind of thing that would tell you right away if that's someone that you're related to or not, because that'd be huge for dating in places like Arkansas or things like that, right?
Yeah. Would it go way back, like?
They're just, you know, we're trying to keep the first cousins off each other. So after the second cousins, it would probably be like it just give you a warning. Like, are you cool with, you know, with second cousins, or is that something you just want to swipe left or hit cancel on? So.
Yeah, I always wonder. So there's the South, but there's also like, both of these sound horrible and racist and regionalist, but then there's also like athletes, like NBA, NFL athletes who have like dozens of kids out of wedlock. And it's like after a few generations of that, and then those kids are meeting the other kids who are also athletes.
Well, even not only just athletes, but like people like the Duggars, at some point, those kids are going to run into their own cousins or brothers and sisters somewhere that are, you know, farther down the road and not realize who they are and say, hey, that looks like someone I'd like to, preach the word to, so to speak, and come to find out that they were, or sister wives or whatever it is, that they're all just one big, happy, related gene pool.
Yeah. And yeah, like just basically anybody on Jerry Springer, like those type of shows where they don't know who the father is, there's always that chance of, 20 years later, if they stay in the same town, you know, accidentally dating somebody they're related to.
That creepy guy that was hanging out at the high school parking lot. Hey, wait a minute, that's Dad.
How would it know that you're related to them? Would you have to, like, sneakily pluck a hair when they're not looking or get a vial of their blood or something?
No, it could do it. The little thing could do it by, like, pheromone analysis or windage or whatever. Who knows what the correct term would be, but your body like admits chemicals somehow. So, if it, and not just, you know, flatulence, but some other things. So if a flatulence would be easy for it to diagnose, it'd be like, that's the same makeup, but otherwise it would be pheromonal.
You could have, Ryan's robot, his lie detection robot, like point at you and say that you can't date that person or whatever. Like, this is creepy.
Sure, yeah. Right? Like, you're going to, it would just flash something, stop the hopper, you'll end up on Springer.
Just comes up with a little message like, your grandma banged his uncle one time, you should probably cease and desist.
Adam, are you there?
At some point. Adam has left the building.
He might not have read the description that we're supposed to have an idea. I don't know. But, oh well.
Saving it for Shark Tank.
Yeah.
He just came to, what he's doing is he just came to harvest some ideas, and he, we'll see him on Shark Tank and we'll say, son of Bob. Yeah. No, I think these have been some ideas. I don't know how good of any, but they've been some ideas. I know that.
I'm trying to think. My idea last week was a nice silly one. It was smell-o-vision. And so I had an idea to make it work.
Didn't they do one of the Nickelodeon movies in smell-o-vision? I think it was like the Wild Thornberry.
Yeah, sometimes they have, or like a comic book will have like a smell thing. You're supposed to watch something on TV and sniff it the right time or whatever. But I had an idea for a house where it's an empty house. Everything's wheeled in and out by robots whenever you need it. Use like an app on your phone to tell it to like get you some food or whatever. Get some of your belongings from the neighborhood warehouse. And so if the robots are going in and out all the time, these little robots, they could like have a collection of scent chemicals, and you could have an app that syncs up with your TV. So if you're watching something that has a smell, the robot will have like 5 minutes ahead of time to see what smell is coming up, to go to the neighborhood warehouse, get the smell chemical, bring it in and release it. And so that way you don't have the annoyance of like printer cartridges of having to change like 40 smell chemicals on your TV all the time. The robots would just take care of that. So that was one of my sillier ideas, is a smell-o-vision.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, we can end it.
To your urban farming idea, instead of, you know, like full-size tractors, they would be like the smaller ones that are...
Like you would buy a little kid?
At like Tractor Supply or at Walmart, that size of tractor, and it would farm your little grid, basically, you know. But other than that, or the houses are actually the plant, the one big living like coral, like a what would be a coral structure or something, that sort of everything lives off of it. So
like a gingerbread house, but not yummy.
Yeah, right. Like, and of course your waste, right? So if we're going to, I mean, you got to turn everything in life into a poop joke, right? So your waste would be your house's food, basically. So
if you fall asleep drunk on the floor, the house will eat you like a cat who eats a...
Sure, it'll swallow you up at some point. Yeah, right. Like, Jabba the Hutt sort of stuff, just sort of swallowed inside of them. So,
yeah. Well, we can call it a night. Thanks for calling in, Chris. Thanks for coming, Ryan, and thanks for calling in, Adam, if you're still there. That was Creativity Wasted. Good night. I feel bad. Or did you mess up something and he was trying?